Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Take it, Marvin. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habhacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great start to your day out there. We're going to go ahead and kick things off the way we like to around here with our good friend, Brittany Merlot, talking a little Mother Nature. And Brittany, I have this from Neil deGrasse Tyson. Happy first day of spring to residents of the Earth's northern hemisphere, and first day of autumn to residents of Earth's southern hemisphere.
Woohoo! We made it, didn't we?
We did it. We did it, everybody. Yes, winning bell.
We did indeed.
Yes, we did it. And Mother Nature made it tough on us to get us to the finish line there.
She did. She was like, don't you forget about winter. Just because I, you know, like she gave us the biggest storm of the season, it felt like, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it really did.
Especially this snow I shoveled last night. I thought, oh, we'll be okay. And then the plows come through. So I had to do some more shoveling right before I came in this morning. I have no back. My elbows are dead. But the snow is so heavy. That's what it is. It's such a heavy, it's got to be the heaviest snow of the year. I don't know if that's the thing you can test. But I feel like it has been for sure.
Absolutely. It has been because those temperatures were right around the freezing mark when it started falling. Those big, wet, fat flakes. We had slush underneath, and then lighter, fluffier snow fell on top. And then with the winds last night whipping that snow around, it was just a mess, especially on the roads. A lot of accidents out there. 7 inches piled up into Portage County. So quite a bit of hefty, heavy, like you said, snowfall. I hope you guys are taking breaks while you were clearing it. I hope some of the kids made snowmen or something.
Yes.
Because it was finally packable. We don't really get packable snowfall. So it is fun for snowball fights as well. Otherwise, that was just punch one. We've got another punch trying to hit us on Sunday. Another storm does want to move in. Kind of the same scenario. Right now, it's staying a little bit north of us. But again, just like this last system did, what did it do? It went south further than the track. So I just want everybody to be aware that Sunday it is one of those wintry mixed heavy snow type events where someone is going to get piled on. So that's Sunday. Until Sunday, it's beautiful today. Highs in the upper 30s, a little bit cooler because we have that snowpack on the ground. So it does reflect that sunlight and warmth back out to the atmosphere. So we stay colder than the rest of the state. Tomorrow, we will hit highs in the upper 40s. It will be melting and working on that snow. We do have a chance of light rain in the afternoon, which could flip to a few flurries in the evening. But after that, it's dry, sunny, beautiful on Saturday with highs at about 40.
Nice.
Not bad. Not bad.
A nice break here. If we do have to get more snow, let's get some rid of some of this here, right?
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Brittany. Right. Have a great day. We'll get people ready for the weekend tomorrow.
Sounds good. Enjoy the snow.
You too. You too. We know you will.
Exactly.
Enjoy it. We have some fun stuff lined up for you, everybody. We got the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. We're going to talk a little March Madness, our top bracket strategies and hunches for this one. I keep going back and forth. I've got with my winners because they do this thing where they allow you to, like, you know, you can re-enter. Or you can lock it in.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry,
you
can lock it in. I've got 3 hours and 7 minutes to decide between Auburn and Duke, and I cannot make the decision. I decided that Auburn. I already went with Auburn.
Okay,
I keep
all right.
going back and forth about it. We'll get into that a little bit later. We'll also get into another fun one here about a bundle that Samsung is offering. I don't know about this one.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get into tattoo anxiety. You can now go under anesthesia if you want to get a tattoo. That is... Got to talk about that.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
And, of course, it's a Thursday. That means we'll kick out the 9 o'clock hour with our friend Denise and the Pet Southwick County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. Got some entertainment news. Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis shared a moment. I want to talk about that.
Mm.
All the bands at Ozzy's final show that will be playing Black Sabbath songs.
Oh, nice.
Talk about that. And our WFHR newsletter. Got those all lined up for you. And the best pairs of fictional best friends from TV and movies. We will get into that one as well.
Buddy picks.
Yeah. Get into all those. But for right now, we're kicking off our show, our opening monologue. Are you someone who cherishes the experience of going out to your mailbox? See what's out there. Doesn't matter if it's junk mail or if it's mail you like or anything like that. Do you enjoy going to the mailbox? I enjoy it so much I do it twice. I do it here and I go over at my parents' house.
No, all right, yeah.
I really don't think much about this. I got to be honest. I've never thought much about it. I think about our mail people. I think about our delivery drivers out there that we shout out, especially days like this. We appreciate you. All of our truck drivers out there that keep our whole entire industry moving. Appreciate all them. But I don't think much about the physical act of getting mail. I don't think of it as a chore, though.
Not really.
I know some people that look at, oh, I got to get the mail. Like, I don't know.
Well, our mailbox is like directly outside our back door. So we just, you know, open the door, reach out and grab it. So there's no trip. Now, when I was growing up, we had a very long driveway.
I was wondering about this.
And we had to go all the way. So a lot of times when I got dropped off by the bus, that was what I would do. The bus would go by. Yeah. I would cross the street, grab the road. I shouldn't say street. It was in the country. And then grab the mail and then walk back to the house. So that was my job.
My Nana Papa's house in Rome was a little similar. So it was always my job to grab the mail. Mm-hmm. And I took it very seriously. I took it very the whole 2 minutes it took me to get from the mailbox to their house.
Right, right.
In a poll, 5% of people say that on average, they need or want all the physical mail they can receive.
Really?
13% say most of it is good. And another 13% say that they usually want about half of it. 51% say that they care about less than half of the mail they get. And 9% claim that they don't need any of it.
Whoa.
The demographic most likely to not want their mail is older Midwestern women. So
okay.
I think some people immediately were thinking of this and thinking, well, that's going to be young people.
It's the Zoomers, people. Right? Yeah.
It's the complete opposite. Younger people who don't get a lot of mail.
They don't.
Yeah. Terry, who will be in with us tomorrow from the United Way, has mentioned this many times with the United Way, the Imagination, Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, that so many advantages to that program, and one of them being kids get mail.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't care what era you grew up in. When you're a kid and you get something specifically for you in the mail, man, that is just so exciting.
My mom and dad, because they were living in Illinois when I was first moved up here and everything, they would send letters. And I still have them.
Yeah, of course. I still absolutely.
There are about seven of them, and I still have them.
Yes.
And you're so right, man. As soon as you said that, that was my first thought that popped in my head was what it was like walking to my papa's.
Excitement. Yeah, yeah. Yes, that's what it was.
Such an awesome feeling.
And even now getting, you know, birthday cards, you know, from various folks and stuff. There's still something nice about that.
What a cool, we love nostalgia. We love doing throwback things with fashion and music and all this. How cool would it be if we went back to like writing letters? Like that was the next
the ultimate.
Yeah. How about you make that a big trend?
Sitting
TikTok?
Down.
Yeah.
Writing a letter. Typewriters come back.
What up, y'all? Doing this cool new thing right now where I dip this cool thing. It's called a pen. I dip it into this ink like this. They used to do this back in the way time ago.
I love the idea of that. Yeah, going all the way back. Yes. You have your own seal for the wax, the sealing wax on it.
That was cool. That was cool. I don't care what anybody says. Your family having a crest and a seal.
To make sure no one opened your mail,
And nobody knew if it was legit unless it had that seal.
That's right.
In this day and age where we're worried about fake things and all this
maybe
stuff.
Maybe we need to go back to the wax seals.
I think I'm actually on to something.
And everyone gets to make their own crest.
Yeah.
How cool would that be? And register it, you know, with the, hey, that'd be awesome. That'd be fun.
Imagine the whining and complaining that would exist with people. It takes me forever to do this. Oh, no. It's worth it.
It totally.
On average, most people say that they get 1 to 5 pieces of mail per day, with 8% saying that they get more than that. And 29% of people say that they have taken steps to reduce the physical mail they get. 62% haven't bothered with that at all.
Wow. And they get a lot of junk mail.
Yeah. Speaking of, I did a survey recently because we, of course, have an election right around the corner. We're going to be talking more about this leading up. And, of course, next week, we're going to be focusing on it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I wanted to ask a lot of my parents' neighbors and some other people in town, guests that we've had in for Midday Magazine. Hey, this junk mail, how do you feel about it? Oh, nobody likes junk mail. How do you feel about attack ads coming directly to your house?
Wow, that's a good question.
Every single person, and this is maybe 17, 18 people, so it's not a huge line of people or anything like that.
Right.
17, 18 people I talk to don't even read it.
No.
Don't even look at it. they just throw it in the garbage, or they throw it in recycling.
Yep, that's what I do.
Just throw it in recycling.
Don't even look. I don't even see who it's for or against. I just see what it is, and I'm like, nope. I'm going to recycle it.
715-424-2600, or you can text in through the Civic Media app if you'd like. Do these attack ads that come and you know, these little flyers to your house, do you pay attention? Do you care? Do you like them? Anything. There's no wrong answer
here. No. Just out of curiosity, curious. Yeah.
Yes. Because it doesn't take a lot of digging to figure out why they do this. These politicians, and it's on both sides of the aisle, everybody.
And their campaign groups or whatever they are now. I don't even know what they're called.
Those campaign groups, they get a lot of money.
They get tons of money.
And there's a lot of people that they hire to do these things. Mm-hmm. So they got to look busy. They got to look like they're doing something. They got to look like they're taking those donations of yours to make America, you know, democracy great and all these things, and show that they're doing something. What are they doing with it? Attack ads. That's where the majority of this stuff goes. Mm-hmm. And nobody likes them. Tell me one person, please, one person, call in and tell me an attack ad has changed your vote.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me this. I'm at the point, I've been doing this for years, man. I've not got one person in I'd say at least since the pandemic. So let's say the last 5 years. I've been doing this job about 9-10 years, but let's say last five. One person, just one person, tell me, well, you know, I saw that attack ad, and then actually it made me think about it. I did a little more digging, and it turns out I'm not going to vote for this person. Tell me one person. We all get it. We all get what this is about. In school, did anybody enjoy when two kids were just like, they were just like picking on each other, and it got, and like, it may have started out okay, but towards the end, they're like, your shoes are funny. Like, it's not even good anymore. It's not even like great
insults.
They're
trying to find like really like, lame stuff that they're to insult.
Your big toe's too big. Like, you know, that's what these attack ads are. They're acting like children, and they're tearing each other apart to the point where nobody knows who to vote for. And it needs to be. There needs to be something done about it.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of freedom of speech, freedom isn't free. It costs something. It should cost accountability.
Yep.
It should cost facts.
Right.
And truth.
Here's the way I like to put it. You are free to say whatever you want, and this means that it's not consequence free, because everyone else is able to say the other thing, you know. That's the beauty of free speech, right?
Yeah.
Is that you can't just go out and say whatever you want. People will respond. And especially if you're saying things that, you know, is this true? Or, you know, that kind of stuff. That's, I mean, well, and the concept.
And then the majority of these politicians, I will say, tend to be cowards and won't even take a call or take a public hearing or something like that. I thought the other side was the snowflakes. I thought that's how that worked. How is that? That
turns out make any they're sense. All snowflakes.
Yeah, it turns out they all are. Yeah, yeah.
They're not brave.
Yep. They get, imagine like your boss. Your boss wants to have a meeting with you. James, you need to come in here. We need to talk right now. No. No, you might be mean to me. No, you might say something to me I don't want to hear. I'm not doing that. But you have to. I'm your boss. No, I choose not to. Derek Van Orten doesn't have to. I'm his boss. We're all his boss, and he's not listening. He's not exactly, and he's not the only one. There's plenty of
others, not at all.
And I swear to God on everything I am, if Democrats were doing this, I'd be dragging them over the coals for it. Nobody should get allowed to do that. And anybody who's okay with that, you're okay with other people making decisions for you and your family. You're okay with that. That's what you vote.
Sight unseen.
Yeah.
With
just them doing whatever the money in their pocket is telling them to do. Because if you think that they don't have money in their pocket from this person and that person and this group and that group, go ahead and look at it. It's right there for you.
Yep.
These attack ads don't solve anything. Mm-hmm. All they are is recycled paper. That's it.
That's all it is
recycled paper. The other thing, too, that I wanted to touch on is we need to get back to crazy ads. I miss the crazy car ads. I miss the crazy, I'm crazy Eddie.
We got right.
Wild deals. Where have they gone, Seth?
I don't know. Those were fun ads, man.
I miss it. Okay. I miss it.
So you get like one of the ads that we completely forget right after the Super Bowl, right? You know, they spend millions and millions of dollars on these things.
Yeah.
What are the ones you remember? The local ads from when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Where these guys, I mean, the horrible production values and that you barely can act in anything, but they're memorable. You remember them.
Roses, fashions at large. It's Clarence, Clarence. There are so See? Many great ads. So
Telling
many great
you.
Legendary
It's all local
ads.
Stuff. Good stuff, too.
Maybe that's the next Star of the Day bit we should do is local commercials.
Oh, God.
That might be rough. That might be
that
tough.
Might, I don't know if a lot of people would remember a lot of those. Sure but you never know. You never know.
And one last note that I wanted to touch on here, and I've had the opportunity, like most of you out there, as a parent to play with kids and you know hang out with your kids and stuff and create games and see how their imaginations work. I was with Laura's daughter, Quinn, and we were playing, and I was watching her and everything. And so about 2 hours go by, and we played 25,000 games in between that time.
Right.
And it starts out just as every game is something she creates. Mm-hmm. Every game is an invention of hers in her head. And there are no rules. There is no, everything changes every 5 seconds and all that.
It's like Calvin Ball, right? Yeah.
It's just wild. It's just insane. And I'm trying to keep up. And at the end of this, I realize, this is how Japanese game shows are created. We have been poaching like game show ideas and TV show ideas from Japan and England and all this and everything. And people like one of the for those that don't know, it's kind of an old joke in entertainment of Japanese game shows.
Yes,
and how wild and
wacky,
crazy they are. SNL did a great bit on this back in the day with Chris Farley and Mike Myers. It's one of the few bits that they did together that they wrote together, but it's a great one. Farley's just losing his mind. He's like, "What's going on? Nobody will tell me." It's really good, but I finally know how they do this. They don't have adults who are just more creative than us or anything like that.
No.
They put about 3 or 4 kids in a room and just take notes. And just take notes. That's how Japanese game shows are created. I believe
that's it.
I believe that. I'm very confident about that.
Awesome.
So kids, you need to get some like Screen Actor Guild rights.
Yeah, let's get those in there.
Some copyright laws on that stuff.
Yep.
Work on that.
The writers.
We will be back with more. We got the El Cafe birthday and anniversary clip coming up for you on the morning show at WFHR. You heard the Fab Four. It's time for the Birthday and Anniversary Club with our great friends at El Cafe. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe today, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Get on over there. Check out some of the great food, great menus, great specials they have. Mm-hmm. The only thing that tops that is the people. Amazing people over there
they
at El Cafe.
They are the best.
Go ahead and check that out. And as Seth noted here, make sure to try one of their pies.
Absolutely.
And every time you go there, try a different one.
Try a different one. They've got so many to choose from.
As much as I want that Death by Chocolate, they got a pumpkin one I'm looking at. And wait a minute. They have an espresso pie?
How about that?
I got to go.
Jim's got to get to try this coffee pie here.
You guys have yourselves a great day. That sounds amazing. That sounds really good.
That does sound good. I'd be curious to try that.
Espresso pie. Oh, my God. That sounds good. What was I supposed to do today in the second?
What were we doing again? Birthdays. That's what it is.
Yes, birthday and anniversary club. We encourage you to get us through your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We love celebrating with you. Email us info@WFHR.com. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call up.
715-424-2600 is the number to call, or go through the Civic Media app. By the way, going to need that app. Coming up next week.
Yeah.
So make sure you have it downloaded anyway, and you can use it for texting or for calling.
We appreciate everybody who's downloaded that app and get us those birthdays and anniversaries. And we have 2 possible qualifiers today, Seth. I need a 1 or a 2.
1.
Oh, all right. Gives us that one. And we wish first a very happy birthday to Jan Langhoff.
Happy birthday, Jan.
Jan, enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you. Thanks a lot for getting us that birthday. And to our qualifiers, happy 49th anniversary to John and Cheryl Klingforth.
Oh, John and Cheryl, congratulations. 49. great year, because you know, I know you're one off from the big 5-0, but still, that's impressive stuff.
Yeah, very, very,
very good, very good.
Congratulations to you too.
Yes,
we encourage you to brag to all your friends and family, mm-hmm. Animals, pets, strangers, everybody. The brag and let them know that you're our El
mailboxes.
Cafe. Yes, mailboxes. Yes, nice, good callback. To brag about this and spread the word about the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club, and of course our great friends over at El Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
We take a look at the people that you are sharing your birthday with on our celebrity list. Mikey Day is 45, current Saturday Night Live cast member, mm-hmm. Also a voice actor and writer on Robot Chicken, a couple of other things. He's got an odd look and an odd face to him in some ways. And I'm only saying that because he has said that.
Right.
And he has leaned into that comedically. And he is one of the more fearless cast members on SNL right now. He is always willing to be the butt of the joke. He is the Chris Parnell of this class.
Gotcha.
Chris Parnell will never get the due he has deserved. Almost every bit, you know, that you remember, other than maybe the cowbell sketch, Chris Parnell was usually the butt of the joke or something like that. In movies, he is. In TV shows, he tends to be. And he just does it. And does it, like, better than most ever have. I actually think Chris Parnell is incredibly underrated, especially as a voice actor. Mm-hmm. Mikey Day is very similar to that to me. You've got to have certain things in a improv group.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have the people that are willing to look foolish every sketch, if that's what called on,
mm-hmm.
an impersonator. Somebody that can do those things.
Right.
Saturday Night Live, I think the problem for a lot of people with new casts is it takes a while for this to get flushed out.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
They've kind of built that now in the last two seasons, mm-hmm. where they've got their key players. Hey, you're the QB, you're the running back, some of these things. And I think that's only made the show that much stronger. Unfortunately, though, they only get a couple of years of this, if that, to really build that and everything.
And then they kind of split up. But so it's interesting to me because, okay, his name is probably Michael Day, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes by Mikey Day. And I think if people don't know out there, you know, actors choose their own name, how they want to be represented. I'm guessing because there's a lot of Mike Days out there.
Yeah.
He went with Mikey, even though it's, you know, he's like little kid kind of thing. But it makes sense, though. And it's something you'd remember for having a somewhat common name.
While I've had, out of the 10 agents I've had, 7 or 8 of them have asked me to change my last name.
Right.
All of them love my first name. They almost always start out, we love James. Love James. Because I don't go by Jim or Jimmy.
Jimmy, yep.
Then they would ask me to change it to James. But the last name, they always ask me to change that. Actually, the only two agents I haven't are my first and my most recent agent have not asked me to change my last name.
Right. Right.
It's interesting. Michael Rapaport is 55. He was in Prison Break. He's been in a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. Friends. He was on Friends a little bit. Has a recurring guest character on The Simpsons. And somebody who, you talk about people who just are going to speak their mind.
Well, I'm going to say he's an interesting person when he's not acting. He's, he's kind of an odd duck, but yeah.
Kathy Ireland is 62.
Oh.
For many of us, one of our first crushes.
Yep.
Just a beautiful woman.
Sorry, I got to do a shout out right here. One of my favorite episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Alien from L.A.
Oh,
I think it was one of her first starring roles. I think the first acting job.
Her first acting job.
And, you know, she gives it a try. I got it. You know, I'm going to give her credit, but she wasn't very good. But the movie, I love it. It's awesome.
It's probably the worst acting I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not saying that as to be mean to Kathy Ireland.
No.
I want to say with low-budget films, so almost every film you have ever seen, most of the actors, not just the big-name actors, most of the actors have an acting coach.
Yes.
Or a dialect coach or somebody like that.
Yeah.
Famously, there are movies where they decided not to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like in The Devil's Own with Harrison Ford, and he tries to do an Irish accent, and it's just gone off.
And it failed. Yeah.
There was no acting coach on the set of this movie.
It was a Golden Globus movie. For crying out loud.
You look up even just a scene from that movie and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Miss Ireland is probably good, is very good at certain things, just not acting.
Yeah, and it's funny because you got the other people in the film are like overacting.
Yes.
Like to an insane level. And then you've just got her and it's, but it's so good. It's so much fun.
While the movie is horrible and it's the worst acting I've ever seen, it is a top 20 Mystery Science Theater
episode. It's a great episode.
It's a top 20 for me. Holly Hunter is 67. Now she can act. act.
She can act rings around most people.
God, I love her acting. She is the piano. She won an Oscar for The Piano. Grace in TNT Saving Grace. The mom in The Incredibles.
Yep.
But I think my favorite role of hers is Penny in The Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. I'm a sucker for that movie. I can't explain why. I just love that movie. And her performance, it's small, but she's so good with Clooney in it. Those mm-hmm. two are so good together, and I really like her performance in that. There's no Holly Hunter performance I don't like.
She always delivers. Yep.
She did a great movie with Delroy Lindo and Ewan McGregor and Cameron Diaz, where she plays like an angel. She was incredible in that.
Why is that name not coming to me?
A Life Less Ordinary.
There you go.
It's such an underrated movie. Stanley Tucci.
It's really weird, but it's probably why it's underrated.
It's fantastically 90s weird. That movie would never get made nowadays.
No.
But Holly Hunter is one of the best parts of it. One of the best directors of our generation, Seth Spike Lee, is 68.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Oscar winner, Do the Right Thing, Malcolm X, She's Got to Have It, the original Kings of Comedy. Spike Lee is also one of the most respected directors in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Take away any of the off-the-field stuff. You don't like him as a Knicks fan. You don't like this about him or whatever. This guy has done one of the few things that... For everything I could say about great directors, very few directors do something that other directors, everybody stops and takes notice. Mm-hmm. Spike Lee in his first film, School Days, amazing film, Lawrence Fishburne, one of my favorite movies of all time. There's a scene at the end where Lawrence is screaming and just hollering out of frustration. And Spike had the idea, how do I really explain this, how to really do this? And Spike Lee, for a lot of people that don't know, likes to do a lot of his own cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll actually be in the camera, behind the camera, directing this. It's truly his vision.
Wow.
He decided to put his actor in that chair and film that and literally flip the camera around. This may not seem like, you know, reinventing the wheel to you or anybody, but nobody had done this before.
No.
And Spike did this, and now every director took note. Mm-hmm. And from that first film he did, there's like three directors you can talk about with this: Kubrick, Spielberg, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
That's the list. The Wachowskis did this a little bit with the Bullet Time and everything, mm-hmm. but we're talking about something that every director could do. Not every director could do Bullet Time. Any director could do this.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately after this, you see this rise of independent films with scenes like this.
Yes. Yeah.
Spike Lee is one of the best to ever do it.
He's one of those rare directors that has total vision.
Yeah.
Meaning he every aspect of the film is his kind of thing, even if he didn't write it or anything like that. But because he's an actor, you know, he's acted in several of his films as well. So it's a remarkable career, really.
One of the greatest coaches of all time, Pat Riley, is 80. Notice I didn't say basketball. I just said coaches.
Yep.
And one of the greatest careers, his arc. You had this question the other day that I did. Was fantastic.
I was going to say, is he a better GM, though?
Yeah.
Than a coach because of all the success he's had in Miami.
That's a great question.
I mean, it's a good argument. It's a good argument.
Some people no longer with us, like comedic genius Carl Reiner, born in this day in 1922. He directed my favorite comedy, The Jerk. It might be my favorite comedy. Might be.
Love all the work he did with Steve Martin, of course. He started out with Sid Caesar, your show of shows.
Yes.
Later on, of course, working with Mel Brooks, because they both were on that show together. And all the other stuff he did. The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yes.
One of the best sitcoms of all time.
And Fred Rogers, born in this day in 1928, passed away in 2003. There, you cannot tell the history of entertainment without Mr. Rogers.
No, he's a television icon.
One of the greats. So mm-hmm. glad I got to watch him.
Me too.
Up. We'll be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown
Oh my God, that was awesome. That was so awesome. I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Oh, I don't know what that was.
That was good, man.
So I didn't see that you had Dream Police in the bumpers.
I just saw
mm-hmm. it just now, and I'm like, oh, that'll be a throwback.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll go ahead and play that. It takes me back to my classic rock days.
Of course.
I had a medium moment. I was trying, because I didn't expect that I might say the old call letters.
Oh.
So I was trying not to do that, and somehow I made our show.
Welcome back to the Morning Police, I guess.
So Sheriff Beck will be joining any minute now. I don't know what that was.
That was good. That was excellent. Love it.
I did want to get this note in from somebody who can talk. Pam. Pam sent in getting lots of mail around your birthday, too. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, things that we like about
good
the
stuff.
Mail and everything.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a lot of good things mm-hmm. about that. Let's take a look at this one, brackets and March Madness. Okay. I brought this up earlier. I've got my whole bracket put together. I just, these last hours have got me debating about who I...
Don't wait too long, man.
Probably going to stick with Auburn, but, you know, in part because, and I was talking about this on Playmakers last night, I have a hard time choosing teams I don't like. And I've just got this, like, I have no rational reason not to like Duke. I just don't like them.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
And it's, so it's difficult for me to choose them, even though I could see them winning it all. And sure. This is one of the, I bring this up all because of when we're filling out these brackets, we all have our way of doing this. Mm-hmm. It's a little like how every family has their own rules for Monopoly. You got, sure. You got the main rules, and then everybody's got things a little bit different.
Right.
You landed on Go in our house, you got $500. You landed on this, you got 400. Like, we were poor, so we handed out money like crazy in that game.
I love that idea. It's great.
Everybody's got their own way of doing this and approaching this. And one of the things that I think about this is kind of fun that does this not does not make this a little snippet of Playmakers or anything is that there are so many people that fill out these brackets. To my point, go ahead and replay this next week, everybody, when every one of us knows what we're going to hear. There's somebody who's got a perfect bracket who has never watched a basketball being dribbled before, let alone a basketball game.
Yep.
Every year this happens. There's somebody out there who they chose, the reason they chose theirs was because of mascots or because they like,
yeah,
the color like the colors.
Yeah, exactly.
Something.
Yeah.
And there's no wrong answer to this.
No.
However you do this,
so
is
makes
fine.
It fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that's fun about this.
Yeah.
How many things like this do we have anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Where strangers and strangers are hanging out and sharing information or getting in on the same thing. It's very similar to going to a movie. And experiencing that.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
When there is a upset next week, which there will be, you know, spoiler alert, there's going to be an upset.
Always.
All of us are going to look at our brackets and all of us are going to be like, oh, our brackets. Or oh, my, I had that.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Why did I change that? Right. Yeah.
It's a pretty universal thing. I'm not saying everybody does this, but a lot of people do.
A lot of people do. Yeah.
And around 1 in 6 Americans are planning to this year fill out a bracket. So
cool.
A very high number.
That's
that
very
point.
High. Yeah.
And it's a lot easier when you know nothing about basketball. A poll found our top strategies for filling out brackets include hunches, vibes, and whatever our friends think. Notice none of that had to do with Talking Heads or Stephen A. Smith or anything like that. I find
nothing.
That kind of funny.
No ESPN, no nothing. Yeah.
No Jay Billis on here, nothing like that.
Forget it.
18% of Americans think that they follow basketball closely enough to make good picks, and another 16% have, quote, limited knowledge. So together, that's about a third.
Okay.
Everyone else is just winging it.
Why not?
23% said their top strategy is asking friends or family for help. 14% choose winners based on hunches. 22% said that just whatever vibes they're feeling. So again, to the colors.
Yeah, I love the vibes. I love the idea of just, I got the good vibes. We'll go with this one. And like everything else, vibes, coin flip.
Around 1 in 10 said that they sometimes make picks based on the team's mascot.
Hey, if you're having fun, I like the idea of doing it that way. Because there's, I mean, yes, and heaven forbid you like bet money on this. Don't, please.
Yeah.
I abhor you. Please do not bet on these.
I wholeheartedly admit I've never understood gambling of any sense, but that on this, that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
To me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
You know, it takes an expert to get a perfect thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you just gotta, you know what it is, you just close your eyes and blink. That's all you do.
No, this is a really scientific way of
it
doing
is
this.
Very
like
scientific.
I like this. I like it because it at least at the very least takes the overthinking out of my hands.
Yeah,
like because I do that with almost every round. I'm in the second round and I'm sitting there debating. Well, I don't know, man. Maybe they could do this. Maybe this team if they get hot. And by the end of it, it doesn't matter because that team didn't even make it to the second round or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
The most frustrating about all this to me is next week. when I'm looking at my bracket and I think about all the time I spent thinking about this and how it's all shot in the first weekend.
What a waste, right? It's like, oh, man.
But that's also part of the fun of it to me.
That's true, too.
Yeah. In part, I will say this, and I've always been curious about this. If there are other people like me out there that don't gamble but love opportunities like this, mm-hmm. where it's that type of gambling where if I lose, oh, no, people don't think I know basketball. Oh, no. I'm like, shocker, everybody. I'm a guy who runs a sports show that doesn't know everything about sports. Guess what? That's every sports host. Yes. That's everybody. You think the talking heads on ESPN don't have a earpiece in that tells them 80% of the stats and things that they get?
They have stats guys. Yeah. That's what they do.
It's one of the things I give Tony Kornheiser credit about all the time. He always credits the producer that does that.
It gives him the, yep.
It's all just for fun. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you put money on it, that's on you. But to me, I think this is all about bragging rights and having fun.
I agree.
Is that the way you approach it, Kev?
Well, it is. I mean, I used to get really serious about it, a few years ago and got into a bunch of pools and, try to get into as much as I can. But, obviously, $5 here, $10 here, $20 here, it doesn't get kind of expensive.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now it's just, now I guess really. Get on there, do it, just have fun, do it myself, mm-hmm. a couple of us, talk about it, who they pick, who I, and kind of like what we did last night a little bit. But it does get to be fun when you can do it that way, but when you start doing the money thing and I really, up to about a few years ago, I really didn't have a lot of time to sit down and watch all the games. And now it's getting hard to watch them because, I love college sports. But this NIL stuff is getting hard to really get into the college stuff now because you get these kids that come in there and, well, you're not going to give me enough money, so I'm going to go somewhere else that's going to give me. You only see them, they're like a one and done in the schools. And until they can fix that, I think they might start losing, the sad thing about it is gonna be they might start losing viewerships,
Yeah, this is 2 years now I've been hearing this, and the ratings were strong last year. We'll see what they are this year. I think in college sports, more than not, people go to teams than players or coaches than players. And I think that long before NIL, they got to figure out how to keep these kids in college. I'm not even worried about them staying with one university. I just want them to stay in college longer so they get better ball skills so when they come into the NBA, they're not a bust.
And fail immediately, right? Yeah.
You've got 19, 18 years. The Cooper Flagg's not ready for the NBA. That kid is he's one of the most naturally talented athletes I've seen in a very long time, and he is not ready for the NBA. There are at least 6 or 7 18-year-olds in the NBA right now, I could tell you, belong in college. Mm-hmm. Like, figure that out. Figure out ways to keep kids in school. Maybe it is NIL. Maybe that's the dirty secret here, everybody, because as much as I want to get upset about this, I am more upset about these universities that are making more money in most states than any other business. Think of that. Mm-hmm. The University of Wisconsin, the highest paid person in Wisconsin, state paid person in Wisconsin, is the head football coach. But I didn't mention players, the people that are actually winning these games. Good coaching gets you a long ways. Mm-hmm. Coaching never won a championship. Players win championships. Players are the reason people come to games. As much as we may love our teams and everything, you don't care. When I say this, I'm not talking about specific players. People need players out there, otherwise the games don't happen, is what I'm talking about. And they come to the games because they love UW. They love their on Wisconsin. They like jumping in the fourth quarter, all these things. Regardless if there's a winning team out there or not, they fill that stadium. That's money. That's a lot of money. Think of having a business model like that. Think of any other business out there having a business like that. It doesn't matter if we win or lose, we're filling our stadium. we're getting a return on our investment. Mm-hmm. Like that, there's no business like that except college sports. And the only people for decades that weren't making a penny off of this are the athletes. And miss me with the whole education aspect of this. Because if that was true, then you wouldn't be able to go to the next level without a degree. You want to go play in the NBA? You want to play in the NFL? Get your degree.
Mm-hmm.
That's never been talked about.
Or do like baseball. Choose. either go to college or start in the minors. Yeah. You know, and then we have D leagues. We got stuff there that's there. You know, there's some infrastructure. So yeah,
I respect everybody's opinion, man, and I especially yours, Kev. But honestly, to me, if NIL gets you or anybody else to not watch college basketball, somebody's going to take your place, man.
I get it. That's the way it goes.
Now we saw this with football too. People lost their minds when the NFL started caring about racism and things like that. And we were told that thousands of people were going to stop watching. What happened there?
Yeah, right.
Everybody came back. I can remember when I was at my old classic rock days again, and we started playing 90s rock. And we had people telling us that they would never listen to the station again. Like 2 months later, I'm at a remote, and I'm seeing these people as giving them T-shirts.
Well, yeah, because it was free.
They were there. They kept listening. You know, if anybody out there, okay, do what you're going to do, but do it. Like, actually do it if you're going to do it. And to the NIL thing, to the NCAA, all this stuff, it's the Wild West. They got to get it figured out.
Yeah.
I don't like the way things are right now either. I don't like kids being able to just, I don't like it. It's tough here. I'm going to leave. I don't like that either. I'm not a fan of that. But I am a fan of these kids actually getting what they're due.
Well, I mean, I get that, and they should get some type of stipend, you know, for playing and everything. After, you know, there's been many stories back in the day about John Howard and all those guys that were saying that they couldn't afford to
work. Yeah, we can't hear you, bud. We can't hear you, bud. We really got to go to break. That's my fault. We got Playmakers on Friday. We should continue this on Friday on Playmakers
Plus.
Yes, because it's a good conversation, and I want to continue to have it. We'll take our break. We'll come back with more show. I can't believe you put this in the bumpers. It's hilarious. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio, doing the dinosaur. I didn't even remember how to do the dinosaur. They really thought this was going to be
watch the video.
Thing.
All you got to do is watch that nutty video they made.
Oh, my God,
man.
That video.
It is. The great Don was.
We are talking March Madness, and with March Madness coming up here, they've got something lined up for you over at Samsung. It's they're offering a buzzer beater bundle, which includes 8 TVs for just $10,307.42. The 8 screens are a 98-inch 4K TV, a 65, another 65, and a 55. You can arrange them on different walls like a sports bar or put them together on one very intense accent wall. Samsung is promoting the bundle to extreme sports fans who can't miss a game. A $10,300, you're getting the TVs at nearly 30% discount and saving around $6,000.
Hey, well...
The package does not include the wall mounts and installation, which could cost you over $200 a piece per TV.
Yeah, something to consider.
And the offer ends in 2 days.
Why don't they throw that in there?
Yeah.
Seriously, why don't they just throw the wall mounts in there with that?
I can't imagine they're getting a ton of sales from this to begin with.
Of course. Yeah, I think you're right.
But then think of how many people that were on the fence, and then that $200 is going to keep them from doing it. To your point, man. That's a great point.
Yeah, you could.
That's
You're gonna spend. I know. I guess you know. You're gonna spend $10,000 anyway. But still, you know, boy, talk about the ultimate impulse buy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because how often are you gonna use that many TVs at once?
Like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm broke. Like I'm doing okay. I can't even wrap my mind around having that kind of free money to be able to, you know what? I've always wanted to do. Yeah. I'm going to do that. Why not? You know what? All right.
Chances are you've already got some TVs, too.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so it's like, okay.
Oh, now this is where I'm going with this.
Oh, okay. All right.
With my background, I want to do the poor man's version of this, where you just grab all the TVs you have and just put them in the living room.
And
just set them up. And they're all just like one's on top of the other. And
everything. We got one on a stool over here. We got one on,
What I would like even better is doing this with really old TVs. Remember the foundation TVs that weighed like 100 pounds? Like just one of those big foundation TVs.
Don't
just
even
put
work.
Up a bunch of little ones up on top of them. Yeah.
You can't stream anything on it.
I can't be the only family that had this growing up where you had that big foundation TV, but the bulb broke.
Oh,
so
no.
They had a smaller TV on top of it that actually worked.
That must have happened a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a piece of furniture.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I mean, you're not going to move it, you know, it's like really old. You can't get the new cathode ray. Did I say that right? Cathode ray tube.
Like that.
That's what, you know, the old TVs were. So, yeah.
We
it's just easier.
Next hour, we're going to get into some entertainment news. We're going to talk about it, tattoo anxiety as well. And, of course, we're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with our friend Denise and our Pet of the Week from the Southwood County Humane Society. Looking forward to that. We'll also be talking about some local events going on, like this one right here. The music of Billy Joel and Elton John is coming to town, everybody. Pollstar ranked this show as a top 50 touring act in the country. Michael Kavanaugh is coming to town with Moving Out. This great performance. Mm-hmm. It is an amazing show. Michael's going to be singing the music of Billy Joel and Elton John. All your favorites are going to be at the Performing Arts Center tonight at 7:30. Get your tickets at saferthearts.com. Buy local, support local, and support the arts. And if you want a pair of tickets, I got one last pair.
One last pair here, everybody.
I got one last pair to give away. Thanks to our friend Sally Kistner over at the Arts Council. Appreciate you, Sally.
Great value. Great value.
And appreciate all the work that her and her team and Eric Britnocker over at the Performing Arts Center do.
Fabulous.
We really appreciate it. We're getting ready to wrap up the Arts Council season, mm-hmm. and we encourage you to take in these shows, everybody. It's how we are able to keep an Arts Council and continue to do things like this. Yep. You're making an investment in our community when mm-hmm. you buy tickets for these shows. And if you want to go for free, give us a call, 715-424-2600. Give us one of your favorite plays, your favorite Broadway songs, mm-hmm. any of the above. Go ahead and do that at 715-424-2600 or just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app.
Right.
And just like that, you will go ahead and win yourself these two tickets to see Michael Kavanaugh tonight at the Performing Arts Center. Mm-hmm. Michael going to be playing all the hits. Go ahead and check it out, everybody. Get to saferthearts.com. We'll be back with more show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.